the Word of God. This morning, our book to study and listen the Word of God is Haggai. Haggai is the third last book of Old Testament. Haggai, next Sunday, Zechariah. The other next Sunday, Malachi. Malachi is the last book of Old Testament. Today, Haggai. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1 to last verse 15, and key verses, chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. Okay, Haggai. Sorry, we have no bulletin today. Title of sermon today is Give careful thought to your ways. In this short book, we can see this sentence repeated five times in chapter 1, verse 5, verse 7, in chapter 2, verse 15, and verse 18, two times. Give careful thought. Shall we say together? Give careful thought.
Give careful
thought. In King James Version, consider your ways. Consider your ways. And Good News Bible Version, know what is happening to you now. Our version, NIV, says, give careful thought to your ways. Okay? Let us read together. Verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Verse 7, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Again, give careful thought to your ways. You expected much, but see, it turns out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, this means the temple, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. I called for droughts on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oils and the oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. Amen. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. On the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius, let us read together, chapter 2, verse 7, 8, 9, ready, go. I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will be peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Amen. God bless all of us with the word of God. We read the chapter 1 of book Haggai is the second shortest book in the Old Testament, next to Obadiah. Long, long time ago, we studied Obadiah. Do you remember? Obadiah has only chapter. Obadiah, shortest book in the Old Testament, and this book, Haggai, second shortest. This book has only two chapters, but its message is nonetheless significant. Then Haggai means feast in Korean, 축제, 향연. 절기. Okay? The key word of this book, Haggai, is the reconstruction of the temple. Reconstruction of the temple. The message of this book is rebuild the temple. Build the temple. This book, Haggai, is a collection, putting together, collection of brief messages that came to the prophet Haggai several times in BC 520, within 1 year. Exactly speaking, during 4 months. So it is a collection of brief messages given to Haggai. Shall we see briefly? Chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And chapter 2, verse 1 again. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, verse 2, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel. Also, Zerubbabel is one of key characters in this book. Haggai and Zerubbabel are two characters in this book. Governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnants of the people, ask them. And chapter 2, verse 10, again, on the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. And finally, chapter 2, verse 20, the words of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. This book Haggai is the message of God through the prophet Haggai given to the Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah at the time, in order that they might restart their mission. Their mission was to rebuild the temple, which they stopped for 16 years. Okay. Haggai appears in his book nine times, and also in another book, Ezra, two times. So it means in their backgrounds, Ezra and Haggai are very, very closely related. Also, the key words of Ezra is the temple. The time of Ezra is from BC 538 to 437, for about 80 years. But this book Haggai, the time of this book Haggai is only 1 year. Which year? 520. It means the time and background of this book Haggai is from the story of Ezra, in the middle of the backgrounds of Ezra. Then who is Zerubbabel? Who is Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel is the governor of Judah at the time. Zerubbabel is the first political leader of the returns exiles. Also, Zerubbabel is the ancestor of our Lord Jesus Christ and offspring of David. So we can see his name in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in first book of New Testament, Matthew chapter 1. Shall you see briefly? Matthew. As we know, Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 starts, "A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And then shall you see verse 12, Matthew chapter 1, verse 12. "After the exile to Babylon, Zechariah was the father of Shealtiel, the father of whom? Zerubbabel. To understand the backgrounds and context of this book Haggai, let me say again the history of Israel briefly. We heard many times, but let me say one more time. The United Kingdom of Israel was divided into two kingdoms: Northern Kingdom with 10 tribes, Israel, and Southern Kingdom with 2 tribes, Judah, in what year? We are having review of history. 930 BC. And then Northern Kingdom, Israel, was ruined, collapsed, destroyed by Assyria in 722 to 721. Then Assyria's capital city, Nineveh, capital city of Assyria was destroyed by Babylonia in 612 BC. And again, the country, the empire Assyria was destroyed totally by Babylonia again in 605 at Carchemish battle. Then again, southern kingdom of Judah was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylonia, in 586 BC. Then, but at the time, God gave a promise through the prophet Jeremiah that they would return to their hometown, Jerusalem, after 60 years of Babylonian captivity. Then in 538, also in world history, not only for world history, but also Jewish history, this year, 538 is a very important year. She'll say 538. In 538, Babylonia was destroyed by Persia, the founder of Persia. His name is Cyrus, C-Y-R-U-S, Cyrus. We call him Korean, Gores. Then, when he became king of Persia, the founder of Persia, God stirred his heart to fulfill his promise he said through Jeremiah long, long time ago. After 70 years of Babylonian captivity, the Jews will return to their hometown, Jerusalem, to do what? To rebuild their temple. This proclamation is written in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. That's why I said in the background, Ezra and this book, Haggai, are very, very closely related. Shall you see Ezra? Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, okay, in world history, in secular history, this year is what year? In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, 538 BC. Would you note? In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in secular calendar of world history, this year is 538 BC, not AD. In order to fulfill the words of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved, stirred, touched the hearts of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his kingdom area, realm, and to put it in writing. Verse 3. Any one of his people among you, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build. This is the mission given to them why they return back to their hometown. And build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. So, because of this decree issued by Cyrus, under the leadership of whom? Under the leadership of Zerubbabel. under the leadership of Zerubbabel, about 50,000 Jews journeyed home with this mission to rebuild their destroyed temple. And then, as soon as they arrived in Jerusalem, they began work on temple. So it means they started to rebuild their temple in what year? 538 BC. And then 2 years later, 2 years later, in 536, 2 years later, they completed the foundation amid great rejoicing, with great, great rejoicing. They focused, they concentrated their all their annual efforts on rebuilding of the temple, because the temple is the house of God. The rebuilding of the temple symbolizes restores the presence of God among his people. Their greatest success, but unfortunately, their greatest success aroused Samaritans, other neighbors, who feared the political, religious implications of a rebuilt temple in a thriving Jewish state. That's why they opposed this project vigorously and managed to force this job. Until another king. First, they started during the reign of Cyrus, but this job stopped. This job to rebuild the temple stopped for 16 years until the other next king we read in this book, Darius. Darius the Great became king of Persia. And then this job on the temple has stopped for how many years? 16 years. Then they became less and less interested in God and God's temple, the house of God. And then they became more and more interested in their own house building, their own business. The rebuilding of the temple is ceased for 16 years. They have become more concerned with the beautification of their housing, their personal dwelling place, indulged their own personal business, personal interest, personal job, ignorance of the mission given to them from God, saying to themselves, oh, the time has not yet come for the temple to be built, justifying themselves, excusing themselves. Shall we see? Chapter 1, we read already this story. Chapter 1, verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house. Lord's house means the temple, the Lord's house to be built. Verse 3, 4, then the words of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it the time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses? Paneled houses means well-built house. While this house, the temple, house of God, remains a ruin. And verse 8 and 9. So God was a little disappointed with them. And God says in verse 8, go up. Verse 8, go up into the mountains and bring down timber, woods, materials, and build the house, the temple, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Verse 9, you expected much, but see, it turns out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, because of the temple, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. In this context, this book was written. In this context, God calls Haggai and gives this message to challenge them, to encourage them to start their mission again, to rebuild the temple. So we can say the message of chapter 1 is very clear. Rebuild the temple, rebuild the temple, build the temple, build the house of God again. Otherwise, your efforts, your labor for yourselves will be fruitless. And then the message of chapter 2 is, if you restart to build my house, I will bless you. I am with you. In chapter 2, three times repeated, be strong, be strong, be strong. All is mine. Silver is mine. Is that true? Not mine, God's. Silver is mine. Silver is God's. Gold is God's. All is mine. All belongs to me. That's why try again, try again. Verse 9 is one of key verses in this book. Verse 9, the glory of this present house, it means the glory of the temple you will build will be greater than the glory of the former temple, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And conclusion, shall we see together conclusion of this book, last verse of chapter 2. This is conclusion. Shall we read together? Chapter 2, verse 23, last verse. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. So they started again to rebuild the temple, destroy the temple, and then they finished this job and dedicated the temple to God again. But this story of the finishing of this temple and dedication of this temple is not written in this book. Why? Because it took four years to finish this job. But this book, Haggai, was written only the events of what year? 520. Then this job took 4 years. It means they finished this job in what year? 516. This story of finishing this job and dedication is written in book Ezra. Shall we see one more time? Ezra. Ezra chapter 6, verse 15 to 18. Remember, they started this job in the second year of Darius, king of Persia. You remember? Okay. Chapter 1, verse 1. Let us see again. Chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the 6th month. It means they started to rebuild the temple in the second year of King Darius. Remember? Okay? Please remember this one. And then Ezra. Ezra chapter 6, verse 15 to 18. Ezra chapter 6, verse 15. Shall read together slowly. The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar. Adar means 6 months. In the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. It is clear, so we can know this temple took 4 years. Started in the second year of the reign of King Darius. They finished in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Verse 16. Okay, let us go together. Then the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. For the dedication of this house of God, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 male rams, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And they installed, verse 18, finally, verse 18, and they installed the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their groups for the service of God at Jerusalem, according to what is written in the book of Moses. In history, usually, first temple built by Solomon is called Solomon Temple. And this temple is called usually Zerubbabel's Temple. Zerubbabel's Temple. Okay. From this story, we can learn many, many lessons. But I want to share with you 2 points only. First, temple is the type of Jesus Christ. Because at the time, temple is called the house of God. It means temple is the place where we meet God to have a fellowship, relationship with God, holy koinonia with God. Temple is a symbol of revelation of God, demonstration of God, presentation of God, manifestation of God. Then Jesus Christ is the visible revelation of invisible God. As Jesus himself says, I am the temple. For example, in John chapter 2, they made the temple very dirty. They made the temple just like a marketplace, den of robber. So Jesus was very, very angry with them. Jesus cleaned. Jesus purified the temple. And then Jesus challenged them, destroy this dirty temple. I will raise it up in 3 days. Then they were shocked. They were surprised and changed again. It has taken 46 years to build this temple. That temple is Herod's temple, not this temple, another temple. Solomon's temple, this temple, Zerubbabel's temple in the New Testament is called Herod's temple. Then Jesus says, the temple he had spoken of was his body. So Jesus says very, very clearly, the temple is me. The reality of the temple is Jesus Christ. That's why today Jesus says, I will build my church. I will build my church. That's why we are calling Jesus is the head of the church. Church is the body of Christ. Another lesson we must apply in our Christian life, in our daily Christian life, is what is the title of sermon today? Forget? Give careful thought to your ways. Means consider your ways. Know what is happening to you now, today. It means what matters is priority matter. Let me say again, what matters is priority matter. Who is number one? Who is number one in your priority? What is number one in your priority? Especially in our Christian life, priority number one is so important. Jesus says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. It means also it is priority matter. Priority matter. Jesus encourages us, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. It is also priority matter. Priority problem. Priority agenda. You know, Jesus sometimes is challenging us very, very strongly. Sometimes Jesus' challenge is very difficult for us to accept, to agree totally. Jesus says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his children, his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Yes, we can agree with this challenge. But there is more, much more, too much challenge, shall I say? Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, even his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus challenges us. You must hate your father. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate your father. You must hate your mother. You must hate your wife. You must hate your children. Even you must hate your own life in order to be my disciple. This is the challenge of Jesus Christ. Can you agree? Can you accept really, willingly? What does this mean? Yes, we must love. We must love our parents. We must love our wife and husband. We must love our children. Then Jesus says, you must hate your father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, to be my disciple. It is priority matter. Priority agenda. So all the time, we must give careful thought in our life. Who is number one in my priority? What is number one in my priority? Even when Jesus condemns the day of Noah, we know the story of the floods of Noah. Jesus condemns the story of Noah. The story of Noah will be like at the last time, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. In the days before the floods, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, giving in marriage, up to the day Noah enters the ark. They did not know. They never knew what would happen until the floods came and took them all away. That is how it will be like at the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. In this story, Jesus is condemning, Jesus is criticizing the matter of eating, drinking, marrying, housing our dwelling place, dwelling our own house building. Let me give you a question. Eating, drinking, shopping, having fun, bad things? Evil things? Okay. Let me give you a conclusion. Every day we eat, drink, wearing, going shopping, playing sports, playing joku, going to picnic. They are not bad things, but other things. Not bad things, but other things. And in Christian life, if we do other things and do not do the things God calls us to do, those other things become bad things, evil things, wicked things before God. But if we do things God calls us to do first and then do other things, these other things become blessing from God. This is the message given to us today from the story of Haggai. Hallelujah. Amen. Sermon is done. Sermon is over. But let me repeat this same sentence, please. Pianist, would you come? Pianist, would you come? Ready. Daily things we are doing, eating, drinking, sleeping, going shopping, anything. Not bad things, but other things. And if we do other things and do not do the things God calls us to do, those other things become what things? Bad things, evil things, wicked things before God. But if we do first the very things God calls us to do and then do other things, these other things will be blessing as bonus as well. This is the message. First, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these things, what are all these things in context? All these things, eating, drinking, wearing, all these things will be given to you as bonus. Shall we pray together? Let us take individual time, especially everyone, each one of us has his mission, has job, very job, heavenly job God is calling to do today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this temple. Temple is your house. In your house, we can meet you. We can see your face. We can have fellowship, intimate relationship with you. Thank you for your house. Thank you for your temple. The temple is our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very exact representation of invisible God. You are radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the mystery of Jesus Christ. Father, who is God? Who is our creator? Who is our maker? O Lord God, All glory back to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our temple, who is our priority number one. Father God, even though we are saved from this world, from sin, from Satan, but we are living among sin, among Satan's temptation, Satan's challenge in this world, because we have a mission, because we have received the remaining task to do for your kingdom, for your glory, for your purpose, for your design, for your will in this world. Father God, help us to remember all the time, first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you as blessing, as bonus, as joy, as peace, as fun. Thank you for wonderful your abundance, grace, and kindness, and compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.